You're in the home 6010.
Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined by my two best friends, Mike Clay and Field Yates.
Wow, what an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
Seriously.
You're a very loved person. So for you to call us your best friends,
yeah.
I mean, that's high praise.
Field Yates.
Question for you.
Yes.
Because I used to struggle with this exact same dilemma myself when I was sitting in the chair. Well, I've always sat in this chair, but sitting in front of the microphone that you're sitting
yes,
in front
correct.
Of now.
Yep.
It's like, it's what, August 24th? Happy 75th birthday to my dad, Bill Yates, who...
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think he has an iPhone, so I'm not sure he can actually listen to podcasts.
Still rocking an old school flip phone? Is that what he does?
Very much so.
Okay.
Like, my dad's technology is like, he's got a coffee maker that you don't have to grind your own beans. Like, that's as far as like he gets with technology.
Okay.
So, any event, like, how far into the season do you have to stop introducing yourself? I don't know the answer to
that's
that.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. It's easy for me. We have so many awesome listeners. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't want to assume that there aren't new people that come into the fold.
Great point.
And so from that perspective, it's like, hopefully you guys don't get annoyed by me saying it's Daniel, Mike, and Field, even though you know who all of us are for the show.
Fair point.
Is that all right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great point. That was all I had. We can talk about football now.
Did you guys do anything special this morning? Because I went to bed last night at about 9:45. You know what that means?
What?
I missed Hard Knocks.
Oh, wow. No, you did.
So I woke up at 7:45 and watched it this morning before I came into work.
Okay.
All right. No joke. So
I was sleeping this morning a little before 7 a.m. and got a text that woke me up
from
a new dad that was probably up early. I mean, that may have thrown off my schedule a little
guilty
bit today.
Charged. My bad.
If I make some mistakes today, it's because I'm a little thrown off by someone.
One thing I don't do is send pre-7 a.m. text messages to my best friends. That's a thing I know not to do.
He was just like, the text was really important. It was just like, hey, wake up. It was just for no reason. I don't even remember what it was about. Honestly, I was half asleep. I couldn't even tell you.
Like I was already on like the ninth thing of my day by seven.
So good.
Changed diaper, taking a walk.
I'm past that era.
Better
past
breakfast.
That era, yeah.
And
my girls can wake up and get dressed and stuff now. So.
All right. We got a huge show today.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Double Trouble. We got some news. We're going to get into a bunch of rankings, some fence sitting towards the end of the show. But let's start with some news. Field Yates and in honor of my Detroit Lions doing Hard Knocks last night. We're going to start with Jameson Williams, who now is going to start the season on the NFI list. What does that mean for you? And how are you approaching Jameson Williams in fantasy this year?
Well, so people are aware what it means for him is that he can't play until at the earliest week 5 of the regular season.
Correct.
So if you're drafting Jameson Williams, a quarter of the season is of zero utility to you. We don't know if that means he'll be available in week 5 or if it means he will be available sometime after week 5. So just a reminder for those that may be looking to draft him this season, you're going to have to prepare for the possibility of stashing him on your IR spot or in your IR spot for some period of time. Not sure there's a lot to me otherwise. I was kind of expecting him to have a reduced role because of the fact that he wouldn't play a full season this year, but only strengthens my take that I don't want to overthink it with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm starting to wonder if that wide receiver 22 to 23 value that he's currently going at in drafts might look like one of the better values in the draft by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I love Amon-Ra. And we talked about Jameson yesterday, and we talked about rookie wide receivers throughout that show. So I won't get too into it, just other than to say what I said yesterday. He's a potential unicorn. He's a early first-round wide receiver. We know the skill he has. That's what your bench was made for.
Yep.
That's exactly what your bench was made for. And if you have an IR slot, even better, you could stash him on there for a while. So I'm fine taking him with one of my last picks, but you know, don't go out of your way. He's not a must draft at this point because he's going to be out a month.
Yeah. Tail end of the season, by the way, you talk about that. Weeks 13 through 17, Jacksonville, Minnesota, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a tough schedule?
It does not sound like it
doesn't
right
feel
now.
Like it right now.
It doesn't sound like it.
Vikings games. I love it.
Yeah. Potential league winner for sure. So don't forget that name.
Next up, we have Gus Edwards who lands on the PUP field. Before we talk about that, because I want to ask you about this, Mike, but the NFI list, he's going to miss 4 games. The PUP list also means he's going to miss 4 games. As like just a fantasy person, what does that mean to me?
So a non-football injury is when you suffer an injury that did not take place on an NFL field.
Gotcha.
In the case of Jameson Williams, he was a rookie. He's a rookie.
Game.
So it was a championship game. It was his college career. If, as an example, you're an active NFL player who slips in the shower and dislocates your elbow, you would also go on the NFI list, not the PUP list. Gus Edwards, as we know, got hurt last preseason training camp. He tore his ACL. He is still not ready to go. He'll be out again for the first 4 weeks of this year. this backfield in Baltimore, Mike, could be pretty frisky the first few weeks of the year. And I don't know, frisky is not the right word. It could be complicated the first month or so of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we should not be surprised if in week one, Mike Davis has 15 touches, right? That's a 100%. Definite possibility. Yep. I am high on J.K. Dobbins. I've talked about him a lot on this show. I stand by that. I still like him a lot. I'm still going to draft him. Hopefully his ADP keeps falling. I do expect a slow start, right? Yeah. I think that's a possibility. But if he is healthy enough to at least be active in week one, I don't think it's going to take till week six or seven before he is their lead back. The guy is a super athlete. He's still young. This injury was more than a year ago. I think that within a few weeks, if not week two, maybe week one, who knows, he'll take control of that backfield. So still like him a lot, not moving him, but Mike Davis now becomes a late round flyer.
I was going to say, if you play zero RB strategy, if you employ that this year, which we talked about on a previous show, one of the realities, you got to be active on the waiver wire, and Mike Davis might be a reasonable late round target for those that went with that zero RB strategy. We're talking late round strategy, but he could be the lead back for week one, maybe the first few weeks of the season. Who knows? J.K. Dobbins, the Ravens have been very clear. They're not going to rush him either, although he is off PUP, so he is eligible to play in week one. Congrats to Mike Davis and his family. They welcomed a baby just recently, like within the last 24 hours. Oh, so very happy for him.
Awesome.
So very cool stuff.
Congratulations. DFS, nothing maybe. Better. Mike Davis and DFS week one. Name to think about. We'll
really
see.
Cheap.
Dak strength is real, too. If he goes off for 100 yards and a touchdown in the first game, don't be surprised.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, we got one more guy we're going to talk about. Looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be ready for week one. We've not heard a whole lot about Juju. We've been waiting to see what it is that we're going to find out from Juju Smith-Schuster in this offense. Field, how are you approaching Juju when you head into drafts?
Yeah, mostly this is just a reminder. Like, if you're doing your draft tonight and you open up the app and Juju's got a question mark or a red Q next to him, and you're like, hold on, what's going on here? Not everybody sits around and reads Twitter all day like we do, or listens to press conferences from coaches, or reads press conference transcripts. So it sounds like he's good to go for week one. As you mentioned, Daniel, per Andy Reid, he's the highest ranked of my Chiefs wideouts. But as we've talked about a bunch, it could be that the best value is every other wide receiver besides Juju, because they're going so much later on. And for all we know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling or Sky Moore could easily emerge. Even Mecole Hardman, who's when he's back in the field as the number one Chiefs wide receiver.
I was just going to ask, like, is Mecole Hardman just out of this conversation for you, Mike, from a fantasy
late round flyer? He's just one of them guys.
Another one of those guys.
Essentially, almost like the insurance receiver for the Chiefs, right? We've talked about that with the Packers too, right? A lot of question marks. So there's kind of you kind of order them 1 through 4 and they kind of get drafted in that order, right? Like Juju, Sky Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and maybe Hardman goes last. You want to take him late in the draft to see if he breaks out? Fine. But you might be dropping him after a couple weeks.
Hey, there's nothing. That's what the back half of your roster is for, is you're about churning guys until you figure out the ones
exactly.
You want to keep.
Exactly. You want potential league winners, potential starters, not committee insurance backs, right? Well, you want potential league winning players.
We're going to discuss a player that I think may be the poster child for what not to use a late round pick on a little bit later on in the show.
Oh, that's a good tease. But coming up right now, we're done with the news. You're good with everything? Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add? Let's talk about some double trouble.
Double trouble.
Double
trouble.
Trouble.
Double trouble.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
We are talking Bucks and Saints today.
A lot of names.
A lot of big names here to talk about. It's going to be a really fun show. I'm going to start with Tom Brady, okay? The Buccaneers led the league in fantasy points last year as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But this year is not last year. This team has changed from the way that it was last year. And I want to preface this conversation, Field, by saying this is not a conversation about doubting Tom Brady. More so about the idea that there are some question marks around the players around him within this offense, specifically the offensive line. Is there enough going on here? Right now you've got Tom Brady at QB5. Mm. Is there enough going on with the uncertainty of the offensive line that you have either considered changing the ranking on Brady or you have changed your ranking on Brady heading into the season?
Yeah, so as I mentioned a couple days ago when Brady was back, I've thought about moving Brady down a slot or two. He is currently QB5 on my board. The gap between he and Lamar Jackson feels wider now than it did about a week or two ago. But I've decided to sit on Tom Brady at QB5. And the offensive line issues are legitimate. Like any quarterback, Tom Brady is much more mortal with bad offensive line play, but he also is probably the fastest, and I think this was backed up statistically last year, quarterback in terms of the time that he gets the ball to the time that he releases the football. He's incredibly decisive. He's going to have a ton of yak from his receivers. And let's look at the good for a second here. Tom Brady had at least 30 passing attempts in every game last season. Mm. Every single one, 30 passing attempts. He also had the most top 10s amongst all quarterbacks last year. He had 11 top 10 finishes. He had just two games outside the top 20. He had two touchdown passes or more in 12 of his games. He had nine games with 25 or more fantasy points, best amongst all quarterbacks. The ceiling is absolutely incredible. We always talk about quarterbacks that can run. There are some that buck that trend, none more so than Tom Brady. I feel good about him at quarterback five.
Yeah, Mike, how about you? Does that offensive line, does that give you any hesitation or pause?
Maybe some slight hesitation or some slight concern, maybe docking them, I don't know, a quarter of a touchdown. Not even that much, right? It's definitely a minor concern. Obviously, Gronk's gone. Godwin might miss some time to open the season or be limited to some extent. I think a larger concern for me is the fact that he had the second most pass attempts in NFL history last year and still was only QB3, right? So I think
only
if we
QB3.
Only, well, I mean, good. We're trying to decipher between, you know, eight quarterbacks we think are pretty much even, right? You're trying to, yeah. Like, we've talked about this a million times, from four to say 12 for me, a quarterback is very, very so close. I'm fine with either guy. I'm fine with Tom Brady, but I have a couple guys ahead of him for that reason. I think his pass volume naturally will, you know, we'll say regress to the mean a little bit. I think it'll come down. Remember, new coaching staff here as well, at least a new, new head coach, but there are reports that they want to balance it out a little bit, at least maybe take a little bit off of a 45-year-old quarterback. Still going to be pass heavy. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be a ton of volume here. Good chance he leads the NFL in pass attempts, but, you know, top five in NFL history, maybe not. Right. So the fact that he has nothing with his legs is a limitation from a fantasy perspective. So for me, he's more of a mid to back end QB1, not that top three guy he finished as last year. Mm-hmm.
Kyle does note that Brady was second in the NFL last year in terms of time to throw from the time that he received the football. Can anybody guess who was number one?
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
What?
No.
Fastest to be able, hike, boom, throw.
Derek Carr?
Ben Roethlisberger, actually. Which kind of makes sense when you think about the Steelers' offensive line and the fact that he's not trying to take too many hits in his final NFL season.
Yeah, but that wasn't always the case. He used to be. I would bet he was on the opposite end.
No, he used to be like Aaron Rodgers is now and Patrick Mahomes. They would take forever because they were so elusive and strong in the pocket.
Point, though, field. Ben didn't need to wait for wide receivers to get downfield because he could only throw it like 5 or 6 yards downfield. So it doesn't take long for wide receiver to get
there. That is accurate. I mean, very low average depth of throw, yards per tar, all that fun stuff.
It was tough.
I'm in on Brady, though. In on Brady for sure.
I think we're all in on Brady. I love this then. Okay. So if the offensive line issues don't change anything with Tom Brady, what about Leonard Fournette? Right now he's going in the third round. You're taking him at that 2-3 turn. He finishes RB4 in points per game last year, but if you're going to draft him, he's going as RB10 right now. And that's the same range as CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce. I mean, you got some serious fantasy contributors there. Does this offensive line, Mike, change anything for you about Leonard Fournette, even though it didn't do anything for you on Tom Brady?
Not much, because volume is king, and I think he's going to get it, right? And I'll tell you what, I think he's being undervalued right now.
Yes, sir.
You know, I can't remember the last time I did a draft where I was like on the clock and he wasn't sitting there at the top.
At the top of it.
Like the top guy available, like, because no one wants him. He's boring. He's like James Conner, just a boring pick. No one wants those kind of guys, but I'll gladly take him. I mean, look at last season. Through week 14, before he got injured, there were two running backs with more fantasy points, Austin Ekeler and Jonathan Taylor. Wow. That's it. That's how good he was last year. He was top 10 in yards and touchdowns, top 4 in routes, targets, and receiving yards. And that includes the 3 missed games. So it wasn't just as a rusher. He was very involved in the passing game. And also, this didn't come out of nowhere, right? He's been a top 10 scoring fantasy running back in 3 of his 5 NFL seasons so far. So he's done it consistently, been a high-end fantasy producer. And I have seen nothing to suggest that his role is going to change this year. Tom Brady's still the quarterback. He loves him. He's going to want him on the field. I know they drafted a running back in the third round, but
did they do that 2 years ago and last year?
They did. And they signed Gio Bernard, who was going to be the passing back last year, and they re-signed him as well.
Yes.
Even if he loses a little bit of that passing game work, not worried about it.
Oh, he should deliver as an RB1. Third in running back targets to like fifth in running back
and
targets.
And still be an RB1.
Third in RB receptions fifth in RB receptions. Yeah. He had 5 games with 20 plus touches last year. He had 20 goal-to-go carries for the Bucs last season. The next closest player on the roster was Ronald Jones at 9. So more than double Ronald Jones, who, by the way, of course, now plays for the Chiefs, at least for the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm very much in on Leonard Fournette this season. A great pass-catching back. And I think that interior offensive line play concern might only make them slightly more pass-heavy. Maybe not as pass-heavy as they were last year because it was borderline, you know, historical from Tom Brady. But if you can't run the ball, you know what they're going to do? We're going to go 4 wide. We're going to have Leonard Fournette sitting next to Tom Brady, who's going to be in the shotgun. And just next thing you know, Tom Brady dumps it off to Leonard Fournette for 8 yards. Next play, Tom Brady dumps it off Leonard Fournette for 9 yards. Move the chains, keep things rolling. I love Leonard Fournette this year, and the money was real too, right? 3 years, $21 million for a team that had a lot of difficult decisions to make this offseason. They paid real money to a running back. And as we know, some teams not willing to commit those kind of finances to just a really solid football player.
Yeah, by the way, offensive formation packages dictate defensive personnel, right? So if they do spread it out and still hand it off to him, that's going to help his yards per carry, right?
Bunch
it's going to
help his playing linebacker.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. 100%. I love Lenny. One of my favorite running back values.
He has one of the most sought after spots within fantasy, not just being Tom Brady's guy, but being the running back on the highest scoring fantasy offense last season. Does he have a role in this offense where an insurance back is important to you? And while you think about that, our insurance back of this episode is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save. Because like you just said, Field, Rashad White drafted here in the third round. Mm-hmm. I don't know as though I'm drafting Rashad White. It doesn't feel like somebody that I need to roster, but I want to get your guys' opinion on the situation.
You don't need to. I don't think he made it inside my 192 article from yesterday. If he did, he just made it inside, right? Yeah. So he's on that short list of guys if you want to consider a home run insurance pick late. I mean, obviously, if Fournette misses time, White would most likely play a significant role in passing situations, but you do have Gio Bernard and you do have Keyshawn Vaughn, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a guy I'm going out of my way to pick. He had a lot of volume. He was effective last season. He's an interesting prospect, and maybe in a year or two, he's the lead back there. Of course, Tom Brady might not be there, so it might not matter much. But again, he's just one of those end of bench sort of guys. No, even if you have Fournette, you don't have to go out of your way to pick him.
Yeah, I think it will be Giovanni Bernard who steps into a bigger role if something happens to Leonard Fournette. Even with Bernard's limitations as a volume runner, when was the last time? And we can sometimes not use quarterback careers as sample sizes because they're only like 5 seasons in. Tom Brady's been in the league since 1942.
Yes.
We can actually point to the fact that I don't know that Tom Brady's ever had a rookie running back play a significant role next to him. I'm sure there's an example. I know Lawrence Maroney got some run as a rookie, and there have been others, right? But for the most part, it's been guys who were groomed into that role. James White, redshirt year. Rashane Vereen, redshirt year. Seen guys who came off the scrap heap, Danny Woodhead, etc. I think that Rashad White, maybe a year from now, could be a more prominent factor in this offense. We'll see whether Brady is there as well.
All right, let's turn over to the pass catchers here. Mike, I'm going to start with you because doing Mike Evans 2 seasons with Brady.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He finishes wide receiver 16 and wide receiver 11. However, if you want him this year, you got to draft him as a top 10 wide receiver. And coming out of drafts, knowing that, are you comfortable having Mike Evans be your wide receiver 1, understanding that inherently there is some boom bust nature to his game that you're just going to have to live with?
Yeah, he makes me nervous. Yeah, he kind of breaks the match.
Too much in lockstep right here.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I think at this point in the offseason, I would hope that we're not like way off. Look, led all wide receivers in routes last season despite missing a game and a half. That's great news. But again, is the pass volume going to be there? That was there last year. Might come down a little bit. He had 14 touchdowns, but he was outside the top 20 in targets, receptions, and yards. And look, he doesn't usually miss time, but his target shares have been down the last 2 seasons. And he's now 29 years old. We've talked about this. There was only one receiver that finished top 30 in receiving yards last season that was age 29 or older. That was Keenan Allen, who's more of a possession receiver in history, aligns with that as well. It's still going to be a great offense. He's still a tremendous player. He's going to be used vertically. He's going to be used near the end zone. I still think he'll be a fringe wide receiver 1, but I worry that if he has some bad touchdown luck, it's going to crush you. It's going to be crushing. So that's my concern, not to mention that Chris Godwin's looking pretty good to make an early season return here. So definitely some concerns there.
Yeah, let's keep it the good stuff just to reiterate some of what Mike said, but just to sort of fortify just how good Mike Evans is. He is the only player in NFL history who has 8 straight seasons with 1,000 receiving yards to begin his career. Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame football player. He is awesome. I love Mike Evans.
For sure.
Over the past 2 seasons of 26 receiving touchdowns that Mike was alluding to, back-to-back years of 13 apiece. He had never had 13 in his career. With Tom Brady, Mike Evans is even more of a touchdown maker for a guy who was already an elite touchdown maker. But over the past 2 years, while he is second in receiving touchdowns, he's 26th in the NFL in catches. And that 1,000-yard stat is obviously awesome. Mm-hmm. But he just scraped by each of the past 2 years. So in a league where we are seeing receivers push for 1,500 yards regularly as wide receiver ones, Mike Evans comes with a little bit more risk. And over the past 2 years, again, with Brady, he's got 13 games over the past 2 seasons, 13 with 3 catches or fewer. He saved you in a couple of those games because he had a touchdown catch. But there were multiple games last season where he had 2 catches, One of them went for a touchdown, so you got lucky. But you just have to be prepared that if you do have Mike Evans as your wide receiver one, at the end of the year, he'll probably finish as a top 10 scoring or a top 12 scoring wide receiver. And he may well have 10 touchdowns, but there are going to be a couple of weeks where you feel like you should stub your toe over the possibility of having to start him and not score a touchdown.
Just on the off chance that Mike Evans is, in fact, listening or watching this podcast, he's had 27 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Not 26.
I thought wow. I had 13 each of the past 2 years.
I think you had 13 last year, 14 last year. 13 the year before, 14 last year.
Yeah. I can't do math, apparently.
No, you're great at math. It's just in case Mike Evans is watching. If Mike Evans isn't watching,
what an embarrassing statistical mistake.
Right.
We lost all credibility over this.
How dare we?
You should be embarrassed to yourselves.
I'm gonna have a conversation around Chris Godwin, but I want to tee some things up first. I'm going to say a lot of words before I get to you guys. Okay? Just to let you know.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Take the floor, man.
Over the last, here's the deal. If you want Chris Godwin this year, it's going to cost you an eighth round draft pick. He's going as wide receiver 25 right now. He's fallen that far because of the ACL, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that. He's back practicing, which I'm excited about. Each of the last 3 years, he has finished as wide receiver 2, wide receiver 15, wide receiver 7. And he missed multiple games in all three of those seasons. Mm-hmm. I am expecting him to miss multiple games here. And on a points per game basis, Chris Godwin is going to be way better than wide receiver 25. Mm-hmm. I think he is an unbelievable value. Someone that I am absolutely targeting in my drafts because I'm going to find another wide receiver that I can plug in for the first 4 weeks. And then I drafted a guy who's going to be a top 15, top 12, top 10 wide receiver the rest of the season once he's healthy. In the eighth round, I think Chris Godwin is unbelievable value here. And I want to know how you guys feel about him because I'm getting him in every single draft that I can.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds like me, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah, Field's been saying this for a while. I know you're on him. I have nothing to argue against it. I mean, I read the stat a few weeks ago. Last season, he had a substantial edge over Mike Evans in targets when the two were on the field together, right? Go ahead.
At the time of his injury.
Yep.
He had 29 more catches than any other Bucs player, 27 more targets than any other Bucs player, and 204 yards than any other Bucs player at the time that he got hurt. He was clearly wide receiver one, except for the fact that the only thing about Chris Godwin that's a mitigating factor besides his health is that his touchdown upside has not traditionally been near what Mike Evans has been.
Well, yeah, because Mike Evans is freaking 6'5" and he's a
Yeah, but he's also still got 12 over the past 2 years. So that's not a massive number, especially with Tom Brady having, I think, 80 passing touchdowns over the past
Something
2 years.
Like
so
I
love him. I love him. And the health is the only thing you have to manage is if he is, and Stefania will say it a million times, if he returns but does not return to performance by week one, well, then you may be starting Chris Godwin not knowing that he's only going to play 50% of the snaps. No, but he's an incredible value. We are looking every year for a player that we can crack. You don't win your league in the first two rounds of the draft, but being the person that's willing to roll the dice on Chris Godwin and roll round seven because you think that based off ADP is going to go in the next round and you're worried he won't come back to you, that's where you can gain an edge.
Absolutely.
By the way, if he's active, say in week one, it's probably not to help out as a run blocker.
Correct.
Probably, if he's limited, he's probably going to run some routes, right? And
maybe
that means some manufactured targets. Maybe, he runs half the routes and sees six targets.
Yep.
That might be enough for a wide receiver 3, Chris Godwin, instead of normal wide receiver 1. That's all right for a while.
And it's worth noting that, and it's a tricky, I went through this and tried to find examples of guys who tore their ACL the prior season and how they bounced back the next year. There have been examples. I mean, Wes Welker tore his ACL in like January 1st and then was back the following season and played 15 of 16 games and had a semi-Wes Welker-ish season. Cooper Kupp tore his ACL and came back the following year. That was in October. The following year, he came back and he was the best version of Cooper Kupp by far until last year when he became Calvin Johnson, basically. But there are examples of guys that have come back within a 9-ish month window and been much better or close to where they were before the injury. And some of those guys were at the younger portion of their career where Chris Godwin is. He just came off of that was his 5th pro season. So I'm optimistic. I love the player. I love the offense he's playing in, all the things that you're accustomed to us hearing That's about right. Chris Godwin. Some of it's roster construction. If you take Chris Godwin, but you also maybe want to take Michael Thomas, that could be a difficult thing to manage. If you want to take Chris Godwin, but you also are taking a running back who's got a history of injuries, that could be a difficult thing to manage. But in the right roster construction, he could be the steal of your drafts. Mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly agree with you, Phil. Let's do a little name game, because I feel like there's a lot here in this range of wide receivers where he's going. There's a lot of names that I really like this year. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Chris Godwin or my dude, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm going to go Amon-Ra here. He is healthy, and we talked about him before. I'm hyped up for him this season. He was so good down the stretch. I mean, at some point, we have to show the graphic of the list he's on in terms of the sort of production he had down the stretch. I think it's 8+ catches and 6 consecutive games in NFL history. Yep. Every other player on that list is a Hall of Famer or superstar player, and he's on that list. So I'm going to lean Amon-Ra. It is close. I have him 3 spots ahead.
3 spots. What about you, Field?
I have Chris Godwin ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is about to be a very boring name game, and it's a reminder of what do you need, right? So for me, the idea with Chris Godwin ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown is that if we knew both of them were going to play in week one, this is not a conversation, right? But there's a possibility that Chris Godwin won't play in week one or week two or maybe even week 3. Who knows, right? We think he could very well play in week one. And if you are drafting somebody in the 8th round, there's a pretty decent chance that guy is not going to be one of your top 2 wide receivers or even your flex play right away. And if Chris Godwin gets back to Chris Godwin by week 5, you could have 3/4 of the year of a top 10 wide receiver. So okay. I still have Chris Godwin over Amon-Ra. Is Mike Bob's his
I'm jamming. This is some good elevator music.
Yeah,
this is great elevator music.
All right, how about Amon-Ra? Amon-Ra St. Brown. How about Chris Godwin or Hollywood Brown, Field Yates?
Yeah, I still have Chris Godwin here. Hollywood Brown's going to be really busy those first 6 weeks, and he could be a really, really good player this year. We just have seen a bit more up and down nature to his game than we have Chris Godwin.
Yeah, maybe he could use Brown for a month and a half and then trade him for Godwin. It could be a strategy. I have Brown ahead. I love him. He was 11th in points per game last year with Lamar Jackson. His final point total ended up a lot lower. Why? Well, he was 67th without Lamar Jackson last year. Obviously, that makes perfect sense. He has Kyler Murray now, who is extremely accurate, extremely productive, a better passer, frankly, than Lamar Jackson. So I'm really hyped for Marquise Brown this year.
All right, what about Darnell Mooney or Chris Godwin? Last one, Mike.
I am going with Mooney. It is close. I have him 2 spots ahead. Again, I'm still baking in a little risk with Godwin here. A slow start, and it's a factor. So, look, Mooney was 10th in target share, 27% last season, top 20 in pretty much every category except touchdowns. I think Justin Fields will be a little better this season. I like him. I think Mooney's a little undervalued, so I'm leaning toward him, and I picked against Godwin on all of these, even though I said I love Godwin. So maybe
and
not
I'm
as
picking
much,
Godwin
certainly
in
not
all
as much
them.
As you.
Yeah, I'm picking him in all of these, but it's very close. I've got Godwin at 19, Darnell Mooney at wide receiver 21. So what I'm really telling you is that if I wake up tomorrow morning and I have a draft and Darnell Mooney's on the board and Chris Godwin's also on the board, I might take Darnell Mooney over Chris Godwin. But the bottom line is that Darnell Mooney's quarterback situation a little more precarious than Godwin's, which is sort of offsetting the injury concerns.
Last question for me on Chris Godwin. We'll move on because I know we've talked for a long time. When you look at these 3 wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Hollywood Brown, and Darnell Mooney, is Chris Godwin going to score more fantasy points per game than any of these wide receivers this season? Forget about total points. Is he going to score more points per game than these guys?
Probably.
Yeah, that's my guess. I mean, Amon-Ra, I think we'll test him a little bit in that regard. He's a really good player too, but these guys are in the same. They're very close in rankings for a reason, right?
I want all of them. I just want all
so
of them
do
on
I.
my team.
I want them all.
Yeah,
of course,
I mean, Amon-Ra and Holly St. Brown and Brown, they could both finish as top 12 receivers. They both have that upside. Yeah. Amon-Ra was that good. Like, he was number 2 in the final 6 weeks of the season. I think it's at least within their range of outcomes. So we're talking about some great receivers here.
Do you know who doesn't have the upside to be a top 12 wide receiver in this offense? I'd like to take a moment to say something to
Jalen Darden,
to our listeners.
Wow. Deep cut right there.
Here's the deal, friends. I understand. Julio Jones has moved on and become a part of Tom Brady's offense. I'm not drafting him, and neither should you. He's 33 years old. He hasn't been good in so many years. I get it. He's a fantasy superstar. He's someone that we will always remember, and he's going to have games this year where he will go off. We talked about this before the show today. You have no idea when he's going to have those 3 games where he scores more than 15 points. You can't start him reliably any given week. Don't draft Julio Jones. It is name value. He is a former superstar, but he is not worth it this year in fantasy. Don't do it. That is my PSA to all of you fantasy managers out there. And with that, I want to know, do you guys agree with me or disagree with me on Julio Jones? Because I've gotten a lot of hate for my Julio hate over the years.
So first of all, was that a PSA or a fantasy funeral? Because it seemed like you were just sending him off into the sunset.
Both.
Enjoy retirement,
listen,
Julio.
He's 33 years old. What were his yards per route run last year?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I do agree with you. Okay, last season he played in 10 games with the Titans.
I would have no idea.
31 catches, 434 yards, and a touchdown.
That's not Julio That's Jones.
It. Wait,
That's
did you say it. A touchdown, like per game a touchdown?
No, one touchdown.
He caught the one touchdown.
Season. One touchdown, and it gets worse, actually. Huh? He's missed 14 games over the past two seasons. During the whole stretch that he's been active, he has four total touchdowns during that stretch. So he has not been productive in fantasy for a couple of years now. 33 years old is a big number. Look, we love the guy, and I expect him to be a popular choice in DFS tournaments this year because he's going to have those big games like he did last year where he randomly will go off for a huge game and then disappear. I expect that to be the case here. And look, maybe if Godwin does miss time and, you know, Russell Gage has been a little beat up, maybe he's the top two right. receiver going into a week. We're starting him. But there are a lot of good options late in your draft, and Julio is probably going to be so inconsistent that you're not going to want to start.
He doesn't have the upside of those options that you're looking at later on in your draft.
He has boom bust upside. That's about it.
Yeah. This fantasy football is not an 18 week game. It's sometimes it's pockets of the season, and there's going to be a pocket at some point this season, maybe a week where Julio Jones has a sort of vintage game. There also might not be, right? We kept thinking that was going to happen last year. He had a decent week two against Seattle last year, and we were all like, ah, there he is.
And then in week 18 was like the next one.
Right. So here's what it comes down to. Is you have to probably state your case for a Bucs wide receiver. There is opportunity for a third Bucs pass catcher, not Leonard Fournette, to have a pretty consistent role. And you have to decide which one it is going into your drafts. And I'd make the argument for Russell Gage over Julio Jones. The case for Julio Jones is pretty simple. Tom Brady wanted Julio Jones. Julio Jones got real money, $6 million guaranteed from the Buccaneers. I thought he might be like a $2.5 million player from a team this year. He got real money, and maybe Tom Brady has that old guy pixie dust that allows Julio Jones to be revitalized. Gronk started really slow in Tampa Bay. He had zero touchdowns in his first five games with the Bucs, and then he kind of turned things on. Maybe Julio Jones will be good for a handful of games or a string of games here or there. He's a waiver wire ad, though. Eric Moody will be writing about him at some point during the season, I'm sure. Russell Gage, though, kind of does intrigue me. It's not going to be Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown,
yes, thank you,
pure football standpoint, is 10 times the player, right?
Yeah.
But Antonio Brown last year in four games that he did play in full commanded a 29% target share. Now, part of that was because Tom Brady loves Antonio Brown, the player. But Tom Brady also advocated for Russell Gage, who got $10 million per year to sign with the Buccaneers. He's another one of those guys amongst those wide receivers who could be a useful piece late in the draft. For a while, we didn't know how soon Chris Godwin would be back. Like, I thought he might be a guy that could be a top 30 wide receiver going into drafts because we didn't know if Chris Godwin would be available until like the middle of the year. With Godwin's timeline escalated, a little bit less value for Russell Gage. But if I'm finding a third pass catcher, it is Gage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep, agreed.
Is there any other one, anyone else here, tight end wise, when we're looking at this, right? Gronk is gone. You got Cameron Brate, Kyle Rudolph, Kyle Otten. None of the guys moving the needle here.
No, not right now. Otten in Dynasty. No, that's
good.
It.
I'm good.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about the Saints in a minute. But first,
Caesars.
We're going to talk about Caesars.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, how many wins? Yates.
You're welcome.
Well, the line is 11.5. I'm at 11.6.
I love it.
Just above, so I'm avoiding that one.
I have a question. When we say, like, are you Caesars?
You might be.
Are you
I'm
sure?
I'm not Caesars. We probably have somewhat of a similar process.
Okay. I'm taking the under. 11. Yeah. 11 wins this year. Tough schedule for the first four weeks for the Bucs.
I'm going to take the under too.
Nice.
I'm passing.
Sorry, Mike Clay.
Not betting it.
All right. First, a message from NerdWallet. When it comes to choosing your top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, and even which defense is right for you or your team on any given week, you know where to turn. It's Mike Clay. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or even the right savings account, where are you supposed to go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think about people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports. And they want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help you guys find the right financial products for you. All right, so let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending needs. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you instead. So are you ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
So we established earlier, we're not looking to the Tampa Bay backfield for insurance, but you know where we are looking for insurance?
I'm not sure where, Mike.
Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on insurance?
I'd love
it. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You can save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
I think we got some breaking news here, Phil Jates.
Ooh.
Is that true?
We do have some breaking news, and this is the good stuff. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I open up the Twitter machine, and what do I find? ESPN re-signs senior writer and injury analyst Stefania Bell to new multi-year contract. Let's go.
Congratulations, Stefania.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Is that why she's on the show today? Is because she's signing her contract? That's what it is?
No, she's signing her contract. She signed it already. She's using that signing bonus. She's in Bora Bora right now. Yeah, Stefania is being fanned by somebody on a private island at the moment.
Heck yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. That's awesome. Great news.
Yeah, it's really great news, and we'll take 30 seconds here to just sing the praises of her. She's so thoughtful and so kind and so good at her job. Such a great teammate. Stefania, we love you so much, and you are so good at what you do in a field where so many people are so urgent and so anxious to be out there saying, ooh, this looks like it could be a torn meniscus or an ACL or a broken elbow. And then 5 minutes later, the guy who has a torn ACL, I'm using air quotes, is back on the field running at full speed. You teach us that discipline is a very, yes, great call. There's a very important thing. You are as true to the good as it comes. Stefania, we love you. Congratulations.
Yes, great news. And by the way, we joke that she's off on vacation. She's working. She's out of training camps, grinding, getting something that really no one else can bring to this show, right?
Absolutely.
So she'll be back on tomorrow and bring that injury news to
us. Yeah, Stefania will call me up. She's like, yeah, sorry, just leaving Dr. James Andrews' office now after a consultation. He wanted me to come in and work through some things. I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving Wendy's. Yeah.
Same thing.
I was just testing out their new burger. It's amazing. So, happy for Stefania.
Congratulations, Stefania. So excited. She's going to be on the show tomorrow with us.
Oh,
so that'll be a lot of fun. We can talk about that. Maybe she'll tell us what her signing bonus was. All right.
Sing?
She has to sing. All right. Talking about the New Orleans Saints.
Let's go.
We're going to start with the quarterback position where Jameis Winston is under center. I don't think that he has any value in redraft leagues. I want to ask you about two quarterback leagues, Mike Clay, but I also want to ask you, Jameis Winston was a quarterback that once threw for 5,000 yards and supported two top five wide receivers in fantasy. Is there any chance that Jameis, who he is now as a quarterback, and this offense could potentially get back to that? Or should people just take that Jameis and move it out of their mind because he's no longer that player?
Yeah, so I have him 21st, right? So I'm not drafting him necessarily, but I'll tell you what. This is a guy that if you said who's outside your top 20 and could finish top 10, it's probably him, I mean, we saw last season he had two top 5 weeks, but he was 16th or worse in his other four full games, right? So he was very boom bust, but he was fifth in QBR before his injury. So he was playing at a high level efficiency wise. And we know he's aggressive, right? He's never finished lower than 6 in average depth of throw. And finally, good supporting cast. Maybe the best we've seen in New Orleans in quite a while. The offensive line took a little bit of a hit. Teron Armstead is gone. The O-line is still solid, though. You have Chris Olave, who they drafted in the top 15. You have Michael Thomas back, hopefully, for the season. You have Jarvis Landry. You have Alvin Kamara to the backfield. It's a pretty good situation, right? So I think that he is a chance to have a bounce back, we'll say, from a fantasy perspective and be a QB1 or a streaming option. But there's a lot of guys in that conversation, and that's why he's so low in our rankings.
Yep. Field, do you have anything to add to that?
I think Mike summed it up nicely.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you there.
Good job.
Thanks, man.
About time.
I'm going to ask you about Alvin Kamara then.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes, but I have to start with something after you ask me the question.
Okay.
Yep.
He was drafted as running back 3 last year, finished as running back 5,
yep.
Currently going right now as running back 7.
Mm-hmm.
That is because of all the things that have stemmed from the offseason.
Right.
However, we've heard from Adam Schefter now over a week ago about Alvin Kamara's potential situation not taking place, not having any court situations happen this year. So are you drafting Alvin Kamara at his floor when you draft him at RB7?
Maybe. I want to start by saying something, and I think Adam Schefter would be the first to admit this, is that how things are leaning could change in a moment's
in a
notice,
second,
right?
Of course.
On a moment's notice. I'm not holding Shefty to the end. If we find out tomorrow that something popped up and Alvin Kamara is going to be suspended for 6 games, he didn't get it wrong. All right. What he is hearing can change. This stuff, trust me, we've been through a full off season where we know that punishments can change pretty dramatically for players. There's still risk here. All right. Because if he does miss 6 games or longer, and obviously if you draft him in the first round or the top of the second round, you're in a heap of trouble as far as your fantasy roster is concerned. I'm going to evaluate this through the prism of him playing 17 games this year and not being suspended. If that's the case, then yes, you are drafting him at his floor. You mentioned last year how he finished. Since he entered the NFL, no running back has more targets or receptions than Alvin Kamara. That's 5 seasons. By the way, if you look at that total leaderboard list, it's Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, not that far behind him. McCaffrey would be higher on a per-game basis, but because of injuries, then there's a big gap.
Huge.
Those two guys are different than every other back in the NFL as far as the receiving role and their upside. Last year, Alvin Kamara saw a reduction in his receiving output, but he still had the ball a ton. He had 24.0 opportunities per game. That's targets plus carries. He's a workhorse for them. The best case scenario as far as his usage, Mike, is if the Saints say, you know what? More Mark Ingram this year, or more of their depth level running backs as ball carriers, and more of Alvin Kamara as a pass catcher. Because when I say that he has 81 catch upside, I mean that very specifically, because he had, as a rookie, 81 catches. As a second year player, 81 catches. As a third year player, 81 catches. Mm-hmm. So if Kamara gets that passing game utilization, he'll end up being, if he stays on the field, one of the great values in your draft.
You're exactly right. And you saw on the screen, if you're watching the video here, he had a 3.7 yards per carry last year. That's a career low, and it's not good. But remember, early in the season before they had Mark Ingram, they were just running in between the tackles, running. That's not normally how he is deployed. Yeah. And then they got Ingram, and that kind of changed. That could potentially happen this season as well. So look, he has finished. He has never not finished top five at running back in targets. Right. He is, to your point, is a huge
bad floor. Last year. It had and, fifth in targets.
Right. He was still hanging around a 20% target share, right? Yeah. He just missed some time and they were inefficient. They had poor quarterback situation for a lot of the season. But he also had a career low in catch rate on top of the yards per carry. Mm-hmm. And still he was top 10 in fantasy points. Again, every year of his career, he's been top 10. So there's no doubt if you get him at a discount, it is close to his floor. I've moved him up in my rankings. I'm up to 6 with him right now. And I feel comfortable taking him around that 1-2 turn.
If that happens, if you draft Alvin Kamara this year, you find that a suspension happens later on in the year. This is part of the risk of fantasy when you draft a guy. Like, that's the value that you are potentially getting. That value also comes with risk.
This happened with Zeke a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We found out his suspension on the eve of the season.
Yep.
People were having to decide, do I draft Zeke? Do I not draft Zeke? How high do I draft him if I do draft Zeke? It's happened before. There's risk involved in a lot of ways in fantasy.
Or the peak one of all time, Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
One so first tough. Overall pick the whole offseason, and he doesn't play the entire season.
Yep.
That wasn't even injury related. It was
hold out. Yeah.
All right. The game.
Let's talk about these pass catchers then, because we got a couple of guys here. We're going to talk about Michael Thomas with Stefania tomorrow and get an update on the injury situation there. But Mike, is there one of these wide receivers? And I know this is sometimes a tough question because they're spread so far out with an ADP, but is there one of them that you like at their draft position more than others in this offense?
I think Thomas is fine, but we talked about Chris Olave yesterday. That's my favorite target in this group for sure. But again, I mean, just on Thomas alone, I mean, before the last 2 seasons, he was top 7 every year. I mean, he was an elite producer, had one of the best seasons of all time for a wide receiver. So I'm at 29. That's one spot behind his ADP. I'm okay with it because of the upside he brings again, but obviously there's some risk in him. You know, I want to hear the latest from Stefania. I want to know how she feels on him. I know there is some concern there. But the reason that I'm, again, we'll get into the other receivers in a second, but Thomas alone, where he is going, I think is fine. I think it factors in the risks that are involved.
I mentioned earlier about Chris Godwin that, like, if you're taking Chris Godwin, it's hard to also justify DeAndre Hopkins on your roster, right? But if you have a relatively clean and steady start to your draft, how can you not love Michael Thomas? I understand that this guy could miss half the season or more because of injury, which, by the way, every player in the league could do that. But if you're getting him in the 8th round right now, are you kidding me? Like, what's the downside there? The downside is you burn an 8th round pick on fire. You know what happens all the time? You burn 8th round picks on fire. And I get it. Michael Thomas sometimes is the butt of jokes because people call him slant boy and think that his game is reduced to just basically something that anybody could do. He happened to be playing in the perfect offense with Drew Brees when they were clicking it away that they are not clicking at right now. Come on now. The hate goes too far with Michael Thomas. The guy's an unbelievable player. He had a record-setting season. He's been a star in this league when he's been on the field. I would rather roll the dice here on Michael Thomas than some of the other players who are going there in that same vicinity who a lot of things would have to break right for them to be a top 12 wide receiver. For Michael Thomas, it could be as simple as playing and Jameis Winston playing. That could be it to unleash another top 12 season for Michael Thomas.
Field, we had talked about literally earlier in the show, another wide receiver going in the eighth round, also coming back from an injury in Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
You had talked about potentially, hey, I don't feel quite as bad reaching. Maybe early seventh or a seventh round pick on Chris Godwin. Do you feel the same way about Michael Thomas, or do you not think that the upside is quite there?
I mean, I feel clearly stronger about Chris Godwin. I've got these guys 15 spots apart in my wide receiver rankings. I'm just saying that if you've built a nice board so far, if you've kind of gone how you've wanted to go through the first seven rounds, Michael Thomas has to get drafted at some point. And especially if we continue to get positive injury updates, I know he's got that little hamstring thing, but early reports suggest it's not going to be serious. I just think way too often people are calling Michael Thomas something that he's not. Like, he's just this guy who's a byproduct of a system. No, he's not that. Michael Thomas is legit, and the upside is so significant, you just can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about taking Chris Godwin in the seventh, Michael Thomas in the eighth? Too much injury risk. No,
I think you kind of have to pick and choose between one of those guys. You can throw DeAndre Hopkins or other wide receivers into that mix, but
although if you went like super running back heavy and you took Kelce or Andrews and maybe you were like, man, I can't pass on Mahomes in the fifth, then you're looking at receiver like they're all wide receiver threes and fours.
Yeah.
And maybe you're at the turn and you go Godwin Thomas and you're like, at least I have, you know, a shot of two wide receiver ones here. You know, it's a viable risk.
Absolutely. Is there anybody else from this team that you want to talk about? Taysom Hill at tight end. Anyone else?
Well, hold on. The other receivers, right?
You want to talk about Juice and Chris?
I want to talk about them quickly. I do think Landry, a wide receiver, 57 on my board. He's going 55th. I think that's fine in this offense. He's not going to have the 24% or plus target share he's had each of the past seven seasons in this offense unless Michael Thomas misses time, but that's a real possibility, right? So that adds some intrigue to Landry that he could be a viable PPR flex option. I think if everyone is healthy, he might not be a great starter, but again, borderline flex and PPR, I think he's fine. And then Olave, we talked about him at length yesterday. He's a vertical, fast receiver. Jameis Winston loves to throw it deep. It's a good fit. He's a top 15 drafted receiver. They tend to have success in the NFL. So honestly, at ADP, fine with any of these guys, to be honest. This should be an explosive offense if everybody's on the field.
Yeah, I think that Landry, though, is an example of a guy that needs an injury to be fantasy relevant. And in late in your rounds, I just think there are way too many options late in your drafts that I would prefer over Jarvis Landry, who either have a clearer path already or just have more athletic upside, right? Like Jarvis Landry, fantasy superstar for a handful of seasons there, but was always going to be super volume dependent. He had 1 year with 9 receiving touchdowns, but a solid season for Landry this year could be like last year. 55 catches, 600 yards, and 4 touchdowns this year.
And he really is one of them boring late picks, but honestly, just when you keep... I feel like we're yo-yoing on Michael Thomas. One day he has a minor injury. Oh, then he's fine and he looks great. And then he's still not 100%.
Fair enough. There is more injury risk already.
All right, if you're thinking about a late pick, and again, you're looking for, you know, I could use a flex option, and Thomas does miss time, and we're going to rank him as a flex, at least.
Fair.
You know, so fair. Yeah. I just think he's at least someone to think about when you're picking late, at least in 12-team leagues.
All right, we're going to do some fence sitting after this, but first, a quick word from our friends at DraftKings and Body Armor. Football fans, join the next generation of fantasy football with Rainmakers Football, their first ever NFT fantasy game from DraftKings. It's the only NFT fantasy game licensed by the NFLPA, and now you can play all season for millions in prizes by building the ultimate NFT franchise. Right now, everyone can get their first full roster starter pack for free. Playing Rainmakers is simple. You buy, sell, bid, and win player card NFTs of the biggest names in the game through regular drops and auctions on DraftKings Marketplace. And you craft lineups of athletes from your NFT collection and earn points for touchdowns, receptions, and more, just like you do in daily fantasy football. And you can build your NFT franchise and enter free Rainmakers contests all season long in order to compete for millions in prizes. The next generation of fantasy sports is here, so download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Sign up with promo code FFF, click the Rainmakers tile, and opt in to get your first card free. Plus, play for million in prizes all football season while building the ultimate NFT fantasy franchise with Rainmakers Football. That's promo code FFF. Build, play, win. Only at DraftKings. Contest entries dependent upon type and number of NFTs held. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details.
Nailed it. Fantasy football season is around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends, except for Stefania. This season, your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need, again, except for towards Stefania. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game, too. Maybe you're hitting the gym again or just looking to stay fit. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated, and Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water, Body Armor is a great option whether you're playing b-ball with friends, hauling coolers to a tailgate, or rooting for your team. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing.
Nice.
No purchase necessary, void or prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
All right, we're going to do a new segment called Fence Sitting. Are you on the fence over which credit card to get? With NerdWallet side-by-side comparisons of top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. And guys, the public seems to be fence sitting on a bunch of players right now. We're watching the ADP go back and forth on a bunch of these guys. But I know you are here to help them out. Mm-hmm. All right. We got three quarterbacks, and depending on the day, all of these flip-flop with their ADP.
Right.
Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, and Joe Burrow. Field, I want to start with you.
Okay.
When you're looking at these three quarterbacks, do you have a clear way that you are ranking them in your rankings?
Well, I have a clear number one of these three.
Oh, it looks like
it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I think, if he's the best player out of these three, obviously, and it's a debate between the Bucks and the Bengals over who has the better weapons, but both of them are elite. Tom Brady's been doing this for longer than literally any other quarterback. So I have Brady number one out of these three. Joe Burrow certainly has a chance to make a big charge, but as Mike has cautioned people a couple of times, Joe Burrow last year had, was it 40% of his production in three games?
Yep,
three
just
games.
About.
A late charge really, really tilted the way that Joe Burrow's end of season stats look. So I've got Brady one, and then Burrow and Dak to me are sort of just a coin flip. I have them 9 and 10 in my ranks.
Mm-hmm. I have Dak ahead by one spot over Brady, right? So it's a close call. I'm fine with either one falling to me in my draft. I actually took Brady in our marathon draft. So look, we talk all about Brady's big time stats last season. Well, Dak Prescott had a career high 37 passing touchdowns, was top 10 in pretty much every category, efficiency, fantasy production, you name it, volume stats. And look, I get it. There's no Amari Cooper there, but you know what is there? There's CeeDee Lamb, who should be in for a breakout
season. Good,
there's a pretty good offensive line still there. There's Dalton Schultz, who was one of the top fantasy tight ends, very productive last season. Jalen Tolbert's an underrated rookie. I think it is going to play a role in this offense as well. So not to mention Tony Pollard. You guys like Zeke Elliott. You know, he's still a good, solid player. Maybe not great fantasy value, but he's going to be part of that offense. So I think there's enough there for Dak in. And by the way, most important part of this, the offense, the scheme, right? Fast-paced, tons of volume, tons of plays, pass-heavy. That adds up to fantasy points. That's big for Dak.
Did you know that last year, the number two fantasy scoring offense in the league was the Dallas Cowboys?
Not surprised. You know why?
Because they run a lot of plays.
Pass heavy, lots of volume. Yes.
Dak's good, too.
That's right.
And he's good at football,
All right, let's talk about these two. Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. Man, it has been tough going back and forth. I know the rankings have been difficult for all of us to be able to look at with Russell Wilson's new targets. Which one of these two do you like most this season? Because the public is going back and forth.
Look, I'm a big fan of Courtland Sutton. I've been his whole career, but I'm going Jeudy here. Going with the pedigree. He's had a pretty nice target share so far in his career, but he's had an ugly 54% catch rate. He has three touchdowns on 167 career touchdowns at zero last year. I think he's a really good player who's been in a bad situation, and I think that changes with Russell Wilson this season.
So I like Courtland Sutton ahead of Jerry Jeudy, so I'm going to ask you to board bet here in just a second.
We have seen
Sutton with a longer track record of production, and I know that's unfair. He's actually been playing for longer, and as Mike mentioned, quarterback play has been bad, but Sutton's an elite vertical threat. He led the NFL in air yards per target last year by a sizable margin, and part of this is something that fans probably don't want to hear. Gut call, because neither of these guys has ever played with a quarterback anywhere near the caliber of Russell Wilson. And as we've seen with Russ, Sometimes it looks like he has a stronger rapport with one of his top two wide receivers than the other. Felt like at times there was a stronger chemistry with Tyler Lockett, and then it kind of flip-flopped to DK Metcalf, but on average it felt like he and Lockett really had that special bond. I'm not sure we're going to have that dynamic in play in Denver, but I'm going with my gut here. It's Cortland Sutton over Jerry Jeudy.
By the way, just a quick side thing here. If you like player props, Cortland Sutton's touchdown line is 6.5.
I like right that now. One a lot. Pound
six
that over.
6.5. Check this out. Tyler Lockett has had 8+ each of the past 4 seasons. DK Metcalf's never been below 7.
And that's spicy.
Yeah.
Was nice. Number, what can I get number wise
favorite,
on that?
That's probably my favorite prop out
what
there.
What number right can now. I get on that? Any idea?
Field, you mentioned gut call. I'm just going to take a quick detour here, real quick. I just want to. We did the fantasy show with Matthew Berry, obviously, the last 5 years. The one puppet that I always wish that we could have done, and I pitched it a bunch of times. Yeah. I wanted a gut call where it was a puppet of a stomach that would just like make a phone call from offset and be like, hey, Matthew, what do you think about this one? Because I feel like gut call is a thing that, like, I get there's not always numbers, but right. Sometimes you just have this feeling, man.
Well, where do you get the feelings from? It's from all the knowledge you've compiled, right? So you have to listen.
And there has been some reporting that training camp has been a strong showing between Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton. Sure. So, Mike, do you want to board bet this or no?
I don't want to bet. My gut says I don't want to bet against Cortland Sutton, but I will do it because
I mean, I've got them like 4 spots apart.
Yeah, I've been leaning Jeudy also. We could just go do it 1-1. Yeah.
And usual caveats apply here, like per game basis, assuming they each play like minimum 12 games, right? Like if Cortland Sutton plays sense, 5, yeah. Whatever. Common sense prevails here. Cortland Sutton outscores Jerry Jeudy this season.
I say Jerry Jeudy outscores Cortland Sutton this season.
Put it on the board.
Well done, right there.
Wow, I was kind of thinking, 2 days in a row. Are we keeping track of these?
Yeah, we are. Wait, what was yesterday's?
Yesterday we did what was it?
I took Mike Williams over DJ Moore.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
More, okay. DJ Moore. Basis.
There we have it. Let's wrap things up here, Dan.
I think Liz was freaked out by that. I think we caught her off guard when we started yelling.
She did not see that.
She did not get it. Yeah. It was fun. All right.
After Daniel yelled at her during the mock draft,
you know what?
Liz's eardrums are
I feel bad for
now
her.
Operating at 50% capacity.
I'm so sorry, Liz. All right. We got two more. Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. Classic tight end conversation. The number one tight end off the board field. I know you've been standing for Travis Kelce because he's Travis Kelce. What more do you need? Does anything change?
That's pretty much the argument. Just has been doing it for longer. Better, I would say more. Listen, Patrick Mahomes. Saying he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson is not a hot take. He's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. The offense is super fantasy friendly. I love Travis Kelce. As steady as they come, give me Travis Kelce. But this is a good example of wasted airspace when you and someone else go back and forth. This is Twitter in a nutshell. When people go back and forth yelling at each other over the smallest of margins, I have Travis Kelce ahead of Mark Andrews.
Man, you and I have been doing that this whole offseason. Yeah. We should put this one on the board too.
Yeah, really, I'll get a tattoo of Mark Andrews if he outscores Travis Kelce. I won't do that, but that'd be pretty cool if I did, right?
I was getting excited. I thought you were really
good. How about a jersey? I should have to wear... Well, that's a cool thing, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll just... At some point, we'll put that one on the board,
Mike
too.
Buy Mike a jersey. That's what it
buy
is.
Buy Mike and Travis... that's right. An Andrews jersey if he outscores.
There we go. And for the record, Andrews, targets, receptions, yards, touchdowns, end zone targets, and fantasy points. Number one at tight end in all of those last season. At 10 more end zone targets in Kelce. That's my case for the most part.
Yeah,
but
no
again,
Tyreek Hill, really good quarterback. I have Travis Kelce, but nitpicking.
Do you know they both had 1,000 yards receiving last year?
That's pretty good.
Do you know who the only other tight end to do that was?
Last season?
Freaking 20-year-old rookie Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, he could be number one tight end this
year. All right, last one. Let's talk about Darnell Mooney versus Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis has been rising up all through the offseason with what he can potentially be in this Bills offense. But Darnell Mooney, Mike, I know you're expecting him to take another step with Justin Fields here in Chicago.
Yeah, and I like both guys. I really do. I have them one spot apart. I do have Mooney ahead. Again, a huge target share last season, was lacking some touchdowns. It's still a concern. Touchdowns should not be a concern for Gabriel Davis, who is a sleeper to lead the NFL in touchdown catches, honestly, in this offense and based on how he has been used so far. So, again, I'm not going to say anything negative about Davis other than he's just not proven as an every down player in the league so far, but I also think he could be on the Chris Godwin path where he's just limited his first couple of years as a mid-round pick. He's unlocked in year 3 in a great offense, and he goes off. I think the comp works, and I think he's in that situation.
He could also be on the Mike Evans path that he only has 70 catches this year, but for a little over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. I have Darnell Mooney as well. I just, all things being equal, I'm going to bet on volume as opposed to touchdowns because they're just hard to predict.
Yep. So what we're saying is if you were to combine Mike Evans with Chris Godwin into one player...
You get Gabriel Davis.
Gabriel Davis. Yes.
Wow.
The Gabriel Davis. I love that.
So he's basically Jerry Rice.
You said it.
I love that. That's a great way to end the show. Perfect way to end the show. It. Gabe Davis is Jerry Rice this year. That's going to be it for us. Mike, you are gone the next couple of days. We're going to have Stefania tomorrow.
But hey, that pool's not going to swim in itself.
Gosh. All right. We're going to do more NFC Double Trouble tomorrow. NFC North. We're talking Packers and Bears.
Let's
go.
It's
going to be a ton of fun. Field, Stefania, and I will be here. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
That's what I said to Stefania when I was like, that Wendy's is not going to eat itself. So did I just finish it?
Do you dip your fries within the,
Frosty?
The Frosty? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
What? Really?
You don't do that?
No. Hold on, Mike.
Mike, we got to go to Wendy's after the show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.